Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road, down the summer loving tour. We're at the Jade Monkey, one of Hawk's finer neighborhood bars here on the east side of Madison. And we've been joined at the table. He's bellied up to the bar. He's former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, a good friend of ours. And Jim, you brought visual aids. You brought reading the Mueller report, the Federalist Papers, the 911 Commission report. Jim, what didn't you bring to the party?
I told you I was going to bring books. I want to make good on my promise, and I did, because I know this crowd wants to read in addition to listen. So it's all there for the entire library.
Books and cannolis.
And cannolis. And chocolate-covered cannolis from Brady Street in Milwaukee all the way out here to Madison. Great to be with you this afternoon.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much for making the track. I got to tell you, there have been some crazy, troubling headlines out of your former employer, the Department of Justice. Looks like they not only were gathering up metadata on people like journalists and sitting U.S. Democratic Congress people. In hell, apparently they were even spying on the former White House counsel while he was Trump's White House counsel, Jim.
And your observation right before the break, I think, is just spot on. If you know the West Wing at all, you know that that office of the White House counsel is literally walking distance from the Oval Office and the president's private working room. The notion that somehow out of the White House, you're going to be getting these inquiries about the metadata and, frankly, the contacts that your own White House counsel had with other people as a part of a leak investigation, it just adds more to this list of absolute meltdown, unbelievable circumstances. Again, coming out of 950 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is Department of Justice. So the geography is stunning, but the action is even more incredible. But again, coming out of this past administration, perhaps not at all surprising.
Jim, we've seen two former attorney generals that are perhaps all wrapped up in this mess. But as they were naming an acting attorney general, the Trump White House was pressuring the new guy as well. Is that Jeffrey Rosen that they were pressuring to go find electional regularities and overturn the election for Trump?
Again, into the very last minutes, last days, last weeks, plainly Jeffrey Rosen, the deputy attorney general, and then he becomes the acting attorney general when Bill Barr leaves, as you also noted right before the break. And so then obviously the president, perhaps others in the White House, identify him as the next appropriate target to do their bidding, if you will. And it really does strike you as, again, not only inappropriate, but contrary to our entire tradition of the way the Department of Justice and the White House should be separated. That should not only be going on, but it undermines the basic concepts of rule of law. And the notion that we reach out again to the fellow who is the chief federal law enforcement officer and recommend to him, suggest to him, and in the context of the Kamala Harris-Bill Barr exchange that we're all now much familiar with, we suggest to him that he should be pursuing particular cases here. Again, just wild. But again, a part of the litany, if you will, of outrages that we're learning about bit by bit, and I suspect that there will be more.
Well, Jim, the Inspector General apparently going to look into these issues. AG Garland speaking yesterday said he's going to, you know, tighten it up and button it down and whatever other terms he used. Were you satisfied with the response from the current attorney general in these regards?
You know, the answer is yes and no. What he's announced is appropriate. Yes, the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, should take a look at this. Talk a minute about what inspectors general do. They look at waste, fraud, and abuse in a very broad commission. We also know that while their investigations are usually thorough and complete, they also take a long period of time. And we talked about this just last week when we were getting together too. My concern about just putting all of our eggs in the basket of the Inspector General is we will find out about what happened probably more than we know even today, 6 months, maybe 8 months down the road, maybe somewhat more expedited, but that's not coming out anytime soon. So the Attorney General announcing that's going to happen needs to do more. I would suggest two other things, one in his bailiwick and the other one, again, down on Capitol Hill. Frankly, we talked about Lisa Monaco. She has got responsibility over those folks who remain in the Department.
She's the Deputy Attorney General
under Merrick Garland. She's kind of the COO, if you will, of the Department of Justice, and she would be the one calling those folks in saying, hey, Tell me what was going on. Describe for me, were we in fact, what is the predicate for our seeking these grand jury subpoenas, the gag order with respect to the judge? And it's not inappropriate, even in the context of an undertaken investigation by the Inspector General, for the Department of Justice, through Lisa Monaco, through the Attorney General himself, to say, we're not providing you with all the information. Here is what we know about what happened. And especially focusing on those questions we talked about last week. What was the basis for believing that Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, and now, of course, obviously the journalist as well, and yes, now indeed Don McGahn, again at the White House, what was the basis for believing the grand jury subpoenas as to their metadata was predicated upon belief that it would lead to information about the leak? Now, we don't necessarily need to know what that is, but just some confirmation that in fact there was a there, or there wasn't a there. I think the American public needs to have some more assurance than simply the confidence that this will be investigated. And then down on Capitol Hill, yep, we got Jerry Nadler, we got the United States Senate saying, we're going to take a look at this too. Highly appropriate, as I said last week, firing on all these cylinders, each one of which adds to the full story.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us. If the Department of Justice, as it seems to be, was such a cluster F, Jim, is it entirely possible that some people didn't know that they were passing out and issuing these subpoenas like candy?
Right. You know, there are two possibilities here that explain this, thinking through this. You know, the one that's incredible, especially when we think about playing the denials by everyone from Rod Rosenstein to Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr, saying, you know what, I knew nothing about any of this. That's what they've said in recent days. And if that is true, that is an incredible thing, because what you've got is then a complete breakdown inside the Department of Justice about the normal processes. You cannot even pursue a grand jury subpoena. Certainly as U.S. attorney, I would never have done that, could not do that, absent authorization at the highest level. So if that is true, there are one or two other possibilities here. Let's look at the legitimate one first. Legitimate one would be, okay, if they happen to have stumbled upon lists of telephone numbers, for example, in another investigation, not targeting those particular individuals on Capitol Hill, and it happens to be that Adam Schiff's number is among that list of numbers you've gotten from some other source.
Something that similarly happened to Devin Nunes.
Exactly, right? You know, so you're doing some other investigation, that number comes up. All right, that you wouldn't know you're stumbling upon that. You wouldn't therefore advise the Attorney General. So there's that remote possibility. Or the other one is the one that none of us likes, right? And we're all smiling knowingly. And that is that we do have somebody, assuming again, these attorneys general are accurate in their denials. We do have somebody inside the Department of Justice, past, present, perhaps, who is issuing these subpoenas on her or his own. Again, that scares me. That is more than just a reason to be having our tongue in our cheek and being smiling knowingly here, just smile knowingly. That is a reason for the Department of Justice's reputation, number one, to have been soiled in the past, needing a huge amount of restoration to this day.
James Santel, when you say inappropriate, you know, when I touch Dom's leg, that's a little inappropriate.
That's
all
right.
This seems to go beyond that level somehow. Jim, how should the American people interpret this in real time? Do we need to wait for the conclusions, or can we understand something really strange and bad has happened?
The second. As I look through this, as I talk to friends, colleagues, certainly former colleagues of the Department of Justice, my cadre of former U.S. attorneys of all parties, I will say, we look at this and we think, how is it possible to reconcile this with theories? And what I just said before, in response to Dom's previous question, even driving here, I'm thinking, okay, what is there any possible explanation? And that the only legitimate one, as I said, is I come up with that notion, maybe a stumble upon a number in another related investigation. Absent that, we're scratching our heads and thinking, you know, this is something that Lisa Monaco, again, does need to describe, but I hope that she also is looking at this with her jaw on her desk and in abject disbelief. I don't know that the American public should simply say, well, you know, we'll wait for the investigation. We need to have some assurance, especially since some of these folks are still there. They may or may not have done anything wrong, but we need to have some assurance not only that this will not continue, but some acknowledgement, frankly, by the AG that this is as extraordinarily wild, I'll say wild as a substitute for inappropriate this time around, as it sounds. America should be concerned about this, yes.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live on the road at the Jade Monkey, east side of Madison. We got to find former U.S. attorney at the table with us. He is James Santel. Jim, you know, I thought we'd put it all in the rearview mirror. Trump was the former president. And, you know, I knew some bad stuff was going to come out eventually. Maybe indictments, you know, maybe that's just wishful thinking. But, Jim, I had no idea that we would find out that he had weaponized the Department of Justice. And that seems sort of beyond the pale. And I would wonder, Jim, how do you think Republican electeds should be responding to this? Do they get any cover in that we don't have all conclusions, or should they be out pounding a desk like I was doing the other day?
They should be saying what we're saying today, which is we don't have all the information. We don't have all of it right now. But what we do know right now is a source of, and use the word inappropriate, use the word concern, use the words calling for investigations of these kinds of things. That's exactly what they should be doing. All Democrats, Republicans, independents alike, to the extent that this Department of Justice, and maybe after the break, I'll tell you about another story from the past that again suggests that this was weaponized during the Trump administration. If it was in fact weaponized, that's the kind of thing that Republicans and Democrats alike should be looking at and ensuring somehow through oversight and maybe even through specific referrals to special counsels and other things like that, that it doesn't happen.
Well, again. I mean, if it continues on, I mean, this is totalitarianism. This is authoritarianism. When you use, you know, the law in your pocket to go after your political rivals and after the press. I mean, that's a playbook that's been written a long time ago. But the fact that it's being used by the Republicans, the former Republican president, and Elise Stefanik, it came out and said, they had to investigate the leaks. So, you know, basically supporting and encouraging this behavior because of the leak investigation cover.
Just be happy they haven't arrested you and I yet, Salvia. Come back with us. We're at the Jade Monkey. We got a fine guest at the table. He's James Santel. More Devil's Advocates live on the road. It's the Summer Lovin' Tour.
If it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation?
That is correct.
You're going to be dead.
No, inappropriate. Stop it right now.
That's disgusting. Put it away, please. We don't do that here.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live from the Jade Monkey in Madison. The Summer Lovin' Tour 2021 continuing. Our fine guest, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, before I was so rudely interrupted by the break, I got to ask you, the investigation by the former administration into the leaks. This is not the first president to go down that road, not the first president, certainly not the last, going to have leaks going on under their nose. Is that enough predicate? Is that enough justification in your mind to do the things that we now know have been done?
The question, once again, is what is your predication? What is your predicate? What is your basis for doing it? You're absolutely right. The Obama administration, Bush administrations, Clinton administrations, all of them. This is one of the great concerns of any president. How did this information get out? How does that CNN reporter, how does that New York Times reporter get this information? And they do that. And so sometimes it is just a matter of ensuring the integrity of the process. Other times it's related to national security. So the general notion of pursuing leak investigations, I don't find that offensive. Americans shouldn't find that offensive. The question is, how do you go about doing it? And again, if I have a suspicion that you, Dom, are leaking information, I've got to have some basis for believing that. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Somebody has to come to me and say, you know what? I see him meeting on a regular basis with this Crute fellow, and he's sitting down and chatting over coffee or something. I saw something on his desk.
It's going to be booze.
Something like that. Something that would suggest that there's a connection here. I can't simply look around and say, hey, who in 2017 and 2018, who's saying nasty things about us? And they happen to be Adam Schiff. They happen to be obviously other congressmen, including Eric Swalwell. By the way, you know, we think that our own White House counsel may or may not be cooperating with the Mueller investigation. And, you know, he's plainly not doing what I want him to do, which is to fire people who are pursuing these investigations. I can't simply say I don't like those people, or they're doing something I don't like. That is not a sufficient justice-based predicate for doing doing it? That's the question that has to be asked. That's what, again, what I think the long-term investigation can do. And as I said before, I think that is the extent, that's the point that Lisa Monaco could, in fact, provide some information about to the American public to give us some sense, some confidence that, again, in this administration, which will continue to do leak investigations, that practice will be predicated upon some reason to believe there's a basis for issuing grand jury subpoena. And then talking to a judge to keep it quiet. That's the other piece of this. What did you tell that judge? What does he or she know? What did you say to them that also suggests this was not simply a fishing expedition, or as we talked last week, this is not a list of people who we didn't like that we're going after? And so that's what the focus should be.
Jim, Trump could not have weaponized the Department of Justice without, you know, enablers within the department itself. Setting aside, you know, Trump and Barr and Sessions at this point, if you're talking about rank and file people, you know, in there just doing the job, if they were wrapped up in this and it turns out to be something that was didn't have proper rationale in order to issue these, what should happen to them professionally, Jim?
Sure. The answer is number one. If you have, again, the Department of Justice has not only an ethics code, principles of proper behavior and conduct, plainly the bars of the state in which I'm licensed in the state of Wisconsin, those folks should take a look at it. Plainly, termination is an option, suspension, all kinds of things can be done in terms of discipline for lawyers who have not abided by the fundamental principles, the ethic principles. If you have engaged, of course, in criminal conduct, and we don't know where this goes yet, but that's an entirely related but a different set of concerns. Plainly, if you can be the subject of an indictment if you have engaged in criminal conduct violative of the law, including obstruction of justice. And, you know, to your point, Dom, about the extent to which the department has been weaponized and people inside, I recall a conversation that we had way back about a year ago. There's this fellow named Jeffrey Clark. Remember this story? He's the acting assistant Attorney General for the Civil Division, also ENRD, which is the Environmental Division, which is also a curious thing. And what happens? He gets called over to the White House. This is while Jeff Rosen is the Attorney General now, and they have this sort of apprentice-like presentation to the President, apparently in the Oval Office, about who should be in charge of the Department of Justice. And Jeffrey Clark almost effects a coup, and it's thwarted only because Rosen and others say, you know what? If that happens, we're all resigning. This will be a Saturday Night Live massacre. I think about that, anticipating our discussion today, because if that is the kind of atmosphere that was going on inside the Department of Justice, as someone at that fairly high level, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Division and Environmental Cases, has access to the President and plainly is put on the same level as the acting Attorney General. And again, we have this engagement about who would be best responsible for the department and advancing the President's agenda there. That again suggests to me a department that is, I don't want to say completely out of control, but has people at high levels who are not doing their jobs.
Jim, you grabbed a blast from the past. I'd like to throw one back at you. Leopardus, he was on CNN this morning feeling duly vindicated by the new Giuliani tapes. Anyone that took part in either impeachment one or impeachment two, they've all got to be feeling fairly vindicated by the headlines this week, Jim.
Absolutely. And so, you know, all these folks, whether we like them or not as personalities, they all came forward. I would add, as I often do, Michael Cohen to that list. I'm not normally inclined to quote from him, but he was also one of these fellows who described the way that the president acted and behaved. He knows him best. He was plainly his fixer for a long period of time. I don't think we need to embrace Michael Cohen as a wonderful human being. On the other hand, everybody, the Lev Parnases, the Igor Frumans of the world, those kinds of people who just described what was going on, their connections with Rudy Giuliani, this strange relationship with this counselor to the president, former U.S. attorney, former mayor of the city of New York. All those connections we're now seeing revealed more and more. And the thing that I would add to that, Mike, is this. We're going to see more of this, right? This is we're seeing the process right now of this particular thing coming forward. I'm concerned about the extent of the president was plainly very concerned and disliked federal judges, right? Remember the attacks on the Supreme Court? Remember the so-called Mexican judge in Ohio? What do we do with respect to them? Please tell me again, as I often am now rhetorically saying, that we're not going after federal judges and pulling their tax returns or issuing subpoenas right there. Those kinds of things, the atmosphere, if it was in fact troubled at that time and not under the supervision of good people, those things could have happened. We'll learn more about it as time rolls out.
former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Never enough time, never enough cannolis. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure
for joining us
today.
Here at the Jade Monkey. Right. We are the Devil's Advocate. It's the Summer of Love Tour. Come back to the party.
We cannot arrest everybody that somebody thinks is dangerous.
The irony is a little rich here these days.
Give me a break.
Hey, one break coming.